Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. Today we'll continue our study of Quran chapter 5, verses 22 through 24. For there we read, they said, O Moses, surely in it are powerful people, and surely we will not enter it until they come out of it. So if they come out of it, so surely we will enter. Two men among the fearers, Allah graced on them, said, enter on them the door. So when you enter it, so surely you will be victorious, and on Allah so depend if you were believers. They said, O Moses, surely we will never enter it as long as they are in it. So go, you and your Lord. So engage in war. Surely we are sitting down right here. The scholars of Islam, the interpreters of the Quran, said that the Jewish made the statement, so go, you and your Lord. So engage in war. Because the Jewish people believe in the doctrine of Tajsim, which means Allah can actually have flesh like all people. That's why it was easy for Moses and Allah together to go and fight the original people of the land. And obviously, this is what I call propaganda of Muslim scholars. And we'll find out a little bit later why. You see, some of the scholars of Islam said, if the Jewish people made that statement, go you and your Lord, so engage in war, because they believe that Allah can go from one place to another, that makes them infidels. Obviously, because Muslims believe Allah exists in every place. And if they said that statement, go you and your Lord, so fight with them, just because they decided to disobey the command of Allah, who orders them to go and fight with Moses, that makes them transgressors. Other Muslim scholars said, if they just saying it for carrying a conversation with Moses that he go and his Lord will be his helper, but that does not make any sense, because so engage in war is written in the Arabic grammar to mean two people, not just one, but two, which means Moses and Allah. But other Muslim scholars stated, perhaps when they made the statement, so go you and your Lord, they actually meant his brother Aaron, since he was older than Moses. And anyway, other Muslim scholars said, the correct opinion is that they made the statement because they are ignorant of Allah. They're ignorant of the description and the attributes of Allah, as it is written in Quran chapter 6 and verse 91, where we read, and they did not value Allah, his true value. And that was the interpretation of the great Muslim scholar Al-Qurtubi and Ar-Razi. Now, my response to this fabrication, as we already heard, all the different opinions of all Muslim scholars about what Allah meant by what he said, is we have to go back to the book of Numbers. For if we read the true biblical account, we find out that here are the words of Allah in the Quran, and there is what really happened as Moses quoted for us word for word in the book of Numbers. And if we examine the book of Numbers carefully, we will never see any of these words of all these verses in Quran chapter 5, verses 22, 23, 24. None of this ever took place, which means Muhammad, as he always put words in the mouths of others, he put these words in the mouths of the Jewish people, when in reality, none of them have said any of these words. As a matter of fact, whenever I talk about that passage, I always share and I say, it sounds like Muhammad made the children of Israel like little children, who are playing with one another and making these words, because that's exactly what you will hear from little boys who's playing together and they complain about one another. But that's not what happened between the children of Israel and the God of Israel. You see, what we know is that after the report came that the land was good, but the people are so strong and the 10 spies who did not believe that they can take the promised land scared the daylight out of the children of Israel by making them doubt in any way, shape, or form that they can take that land. So then the children of Israel complained to Moses and they told him, "We wish we have died in Egypt or somewhere out in the wilderness." As a matter of fact, some of them made up a leader to lead them back to the land of Egypt. But they never said, "You and your Lord go and fight." And God was about to annihilate all of them, except that Moses prayed to God, long prayer. And we can read about that prayer in chapter 13 and chapter 14 of the book of Numbers. He begged God to disregard what the children of Israel said concerning their sin and their rebellion. And that's when God made the decision to kill the 10 spies, those who disbelieve that God is able to give that promised land to the children of Israel. Once again, for our dear Muslims who never read the Bible and do not know the true biblical account, they may believe these lies which Muhammad inserted throughout the Quran. That's why I always encourage our dear Muslim friends to read the same story which they are reading in the Quran, in the Bible, to see the true account, not the made-up story, which, by the way, is missing so much information in the Quran. Now let's move on in our study to learn about Cain and Abel, as Muhammad inserted that story in Quran chapter 5, beginning from verse 27 till verse 31. For in verse 27 we read, "And recite to them the news with the truth of the sons of Adam, when they each offered an offering, so it was accepted from one of them and not accepted from the other." Notice here that Allah is telling us in the Quran that the story we're about to read together is the truth. And what is the truth? That Adam have two sons. And what are their names? Only Allah knows what their names are, because the Quran never mentioned their names. But what do we learn from that verse? They both offer an offering, and it was accepted from one, but it was not accepted from the other. Now, what was this offering? We do not know. Why it was accepted from one and not the other? We do not know. But that is exactly the truth of the Quran. There is no truth in the Quran. If we go back to the Bible, in the book of Genesis, chapter 4 and verses 1 through 5, we learn about the true account as it is written by Moses, who was led by the Holy Spirit. For we know in verse 1 that Adam knew Eve, and she had a son, and she named him Cain. And in the following verse, she got pregnant again, and this time she had a son, and she named him Abel. In verse 3, we know that Cain offered from the fruit of the earth an offering to the Lord. And in verse 4, Abel offered the firstborn of the flock as an offering to the Lord. And that's why the Lord accepted Abel's offering, but he did not accept Cain's offering. Where did they learn how to offer an offering? They learned it from their father and mother. How did their father Adam and their mother Eve learn about offer an offering to the Lord? It was taught to them by the Lord himself after the sin in the garden. What is the offering which they were supposed to offer? It was a pure blood sacrifice, not some fruits or vegetables. That is why God accepted the offering of Abel and rejected the offering of Cain. Neither Allah, nor Muhammad, nor any Muslim scholar would like to talk about offering a sacrifice of an animal for the sin of the sons of Adam, because that would destroy everything else Islam is all about. For in Islam, there is no offerings of sacrifice for sin to Allah. And that's why Muhammad denied the true biblical account concerning the offerings of the sons of Adam. But what do we read in verse 5? We read that Cain became very angry. Why? Because God did not accept his offering, but he only accepted the offering of his brother Abel.
600 years after Jesus Christ walked this planet, an obscure Arab preacher began proclaiming a radical and violent new faith. The would-be prophet, Muhammad. The new faith, the religion of Islam. And now, 14 centuries later, over 1.5 billion people claim to follow him and his supposed revelations from God contained within the Quran. But here in the modern West, what do we truly know about this deadly and dangerous religion that has conquered, killed, and enslaved hundreds of millions over the centuries? What do we know of its founder, of its holy book, and of its unalterable mandate to subdue and rule all of mankind? The Lord said through Hosea the prophet that, "My people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge." To combat this lack of understanding, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry travels all across the United States to speak to churches and organizations with captivating and media-rich presentations on a wide variety of topics. It's time you, your church, or your organization becomes equipped with the truth about Islam. We are only one phone call or email away from scheduling a single seminar or even an entire series in your area. Please contact us at 941-223-1703 or by email at Vicky@thestraightway.org. That's Vicky spelled V-I-C-K-I. You can also visit our website for more information at www.thestraightway.org. And now, back to our show.
Well, let's go back to Quran chapter 5 and verse 27 to see the reaction of one of the sons of Adam to his brother after Allah rejected his offering. For in the Quran we read, he said, "Surely I will kill you." He said, "Surely Allah only accepts from the fearer." So what is the error here? First of all, the Bible did not say that Cain told his brother, "I will kill you," but the Bible simply said he became very angry. Second, in the Quran, Allah rejected the gift of Cain not because he offered the wrong offering, but because he did not fear Allah. Once again, Muhammad is wrong. The Quran never told the truth. The reason Muhammad did not told the truth because he does not want to talk about the sacrifice of blood, which will lead us to believe of the sacrifice of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, who died for the sin of the world, as the only true sacrifice accepted by God, not for covering for sin, but for the forgiveness of sin. So what do we have here? We have a propaganda story missing important information and gave us the wrong conclusion. The rejection of the offerings which were given by the sons of Adam was not because he feared or not feared God, but because he offered the wrong or the right offering. Well, let's move on to Quran chapter 5 and verse 28. For there we read, "If you stretch your hands against me to kill me, I will not stretch my hands to you to kill you. Surely I fear Allah, the Lord of the world." Once again, the scenario between the two sons of Adam does not fit the true biblical account. In the Bible, we never read that Cain told his brother Abel, "I will kill you." And we never read in the Bible that Abel said, "Well, go ahead if you're going to kill me. I'm not going to defend myself. I'll just let you go ahead and kill me." This is nonsensical, ridiculous writing of Allah given by Jibreel to Muhammad. Well, let's move on to Quran chapter 5, verse 29. For there we read the following. "Surely I desire that you will bear my sin and your sin, so that you will become among the companions of the fire. And that is the reward of the unjust." Once again, we see fabrication compared to the biblical account, because that's not what Abel said to his brother Cain, and that is not even logical. It's not even right doctrine, because if Cain killed his brother Abel, he will not carry the sin of Abel. He will only carry his own sin. And it is not logical that when Cain tried to kill his brother Abel, Abel just stood up there and he said, "I'm not going to defend myself and I'm not going to kill you." Logically, it was a surprise attack, not as how Muhammad presented. That's when Cain killed his brother Abel. Well, let's move on to Quran chapter 5 and verse 30. For there we read, So his soul persuaded him to kill his brother. So he killed him. So he became of the losers. Wow, he became a loser just because he murdered his brother? I say, so he became a murderer, not a loser. That is a ridiculous comment about Cain killing his brother. Ibn Abi Hatim said that one of the sons of Adam desired to kill the other one. Notice here, neither Allah, nor Jibreel, nor Muhammad, nor all Muslim scholars have a clue about the real names of the two sons, because all that the Quran states recite to them the truth of the sons of Adam. What are their names? We do not know. Who did what? We do not know. I know that Muslims will say Cain and Habil, but the reality is that these names were not mentioned in the Quran. They obviously depend on what is written in the Bible to tell the story in the Quran. But let us go to the end of the story to see how Allah fixed the problem of the burial of the dead brother. For in verse 31, we read, so Allah sent a raven which searched on the earth to show him how he might bury his brother's body. He said, oh, woe to me. Am I unable to become like this raven? So I will hide my brother's body. So he became of those who regret. So now let us look at how Muslim scholars explain the killing and the burial of the son of Adam. They stated, so when that one of the sons of Adam decided to kill his brother, Ibn Hatim said that he began to hit his head and his bones and he did not know how to kill him. So Iblis, that is Satan, came and said to him, do you want to kill him? He said, yes. He said, take this rock and drop it over his head. So he took it and he dropped it on the top of his brother's head. So he killed him. Then Satan came to Eve and he said to her, surely Cain killed his brother Habil. So she said to him, woe to you. And what is the killing? He said, well, he will not eat. He will not drink. He will not move. So Eve began to scream loud until Adam came to her and entered on her. And Adam said, what is the matter with you? And she did not answer. So he said, on you is the shout and on your daughters. And me and my sons are innocent of it. Wow. You see, in Muslim scholars' writing, they are trying to make separation between men and women from the beginning of the first family, the family of Adam and Eve. And here we see Adam is seeking the curse on Eve and her daughters, not on himself, the man, or his two sons, the men. Then we continue to read the fabrication of those so-called Muslim scholars, as he continue by stating, so when Qabil killed Habil, notice they are making these names up. After he killed his brother, he left him out in the open, and he did not know what to do with him, because he was the first one who died from the sons of Adam on the face of the earth. So wild beasts came to eat his flesh. So Qabil carried him on his back for 40 days. Ibn Abbas, the great scholar of Islam, the cousin of Muhammad, said he carried his brother's body on his back for a whole year until his brother's body stunk. So Allah decided to teach Cain how to bury his brother. So he sent two ravens. And these two ravens fought with each other until one of them killed the other. And then the one who survived dug with his beak and his legs in the earth until he made a big hole. Then he put the dead raven inside and then he covered him with the dirt. All this happened while Qabil was watching. And that was the meaning of the word of Allah, Quran chapter 5 and verse 31. As stated, so Allah sent a raven which searched on the earth to show him how he might bury his brother's body. And this was interpretation of the great Muslim scholar Ibn Kathir for Quran chapter 5 and verse 31. Now let me share with you why Muslim scholars changed the name from Cain, which in Arabic Cain, to Kapil. Because people in Islam love the poetry system of speaking, so they would change the name or the letters of the end of the name to make the poetry and the rhyme of the words fit good in the reading in the Arabic language. So now we ask a question. Where did Muhammad or his scholars come up with the idea of these two ravens whom Allah sent to show Adam's son Cain how to bury his brother? This is obviously was taken from old Jewish myth. Can you really imagine with me? Cain does not know how to bury his brother after killing him, when he had seen so many sacrifices which were offered to God, and he knows about the death of all the animals and the creatures in his days. I mean, you're not talking about Cain as a little boy. He's a grown-up man. And throughout his life, he has seen many dead animals. And obviously, he and the rest of the children of Adam were burying the dead bodies so they will not smell their decaying bodies. Amazingly, when we read these fabricated fairy tales, we think that Cain did not have any logic or common sense. After all, Muslim scholars said that was the first son of Adam who has ever died. What about all other creatures who died? Add to that, carrying the body of his own brother on his back for a whole 40 days, or maybe as Ibn Abbas said, for a year. How much logic do we read here? This is simply myth and fabrication written by so-called Muslim scholars. And what is so amazing, when you read what they wrote, you may think that they were there. They saw what happened. They know for sure what they're saying is not a made-up story, but it is the truth. Once again, the reality is, we know from the Bible that Cain killed his brother Abel, and obviously he buried his brother's body without watching some raven killing another raven and burying the dead one. And to continue our study of commentaries of the Quran, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul, but now the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.